All right, 909 on a... I just felt like the late Robin Williams from Mork and Mindy. 909.
Anybody else seen this Tom Brady picture on TMZ? This new ad?
Me nervous.
I believe I have him muted.
For a second, I wasn't sure I should be looking at this. It just popped up on my Twitter feed. Anyway.
Hey, you look like that at the age of 45. Good on you. We all would like to look as good as Jacob Bigelow does. He joins us now. Good morning.
Well, that's awfully kind. That's high praise, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Good morning to you guys too. Happy Monday. Super Bowl week.
I'm just setting you up here. Go Chiefs, as we both can say that.
Yeah, we can. Go Chiefs.
All
right. Let's have a week, Gary. Let's have a week.
I know. Let's get after it. Let's go, Patrick Mahomes. All right, so you are, for people that know Jacob, that has contributed to 1620 over the last couple of years. You also find his work at Huskers Illustrated. Him and Jacob Padilla host a really, really informative and in-depth shoot-around podcast, among the other things that you do. But people also know how you got into this kind of business. You used to be a manager at Nebraska. So you're a little privy to how things work behind the scenes, and you were there with Coach Miles. There has been a discussion for a long time. There's really no reason why we should know Mark Boehm's name, but we did. And there is, like the basketball AD and the support or lack of support that Nebraska basketball gets. And now name, image, likeness has entered the picture. When people say, man, they should hire a basketball AD, what's your response to that? And then what should that person do that helps the current staff in their role? Because there's a lot of confusion on what exactly that role is.
My reaction is that, yes, we didn't need to know Mark Boehm's name. But while this is definitely comparing apples to oranges in terms of basketball setup and basketball, potential and all that, if you want to see the benefits of what having basketball-minded individuals in your athletic department can do, Gary, you've got a front-row seat to it at Omaha. The impact that having basketball-centric people in an athletic department, now there's not a basketball-minded guy in the power chair in Lincoln, but it would be beneficial if there were basketball-minded individuals in the department, in my opinion.
Okay, so we know at Nebraska, the power chair guy always has to look out for football. But we want him to match the passion of the fans that follow basketball. So the person that is in that role, and there's somebody in that role right now, like what should they do on behalf of Fred's staff? And then there's another part of this question, Jacob, is do you feel that Fred has all the tools at his fingertips to be successful?
What should they do on the staff's behalf? That's kind of a, it's just to have somebody to vouch for the program outside of the head coach, really. Someone who's in those, department meetings, a liaison of sorts between the program and the department and, the higher-ups, that sort of thing. I don't have all day. I've only got a certain amount of time. I don't need to list off a laundry list of things. But to answer that second question, it's tough. That's a tough question because in some ways, no, but in other ways, many from the outside would assume yes. But there are things behind the scenes. They got some catching up to do. I know probably the line from Chattel's piece that took many people by surprise was the talk about NIL.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I know for sure is that due to the way NIL is going on in Lincoln, that there's a group that had to start a basketball-centric NIL collective. It's smaller, you know, they're not going to have digital billboards and TV advertisements and radio advertisements. But it's a smaller group, and they're, you know, operating specifically for basketball. And that was due to obviously football is the front burner of the sports discourse in this state. And due to that, one of the side effects was basketball kind of not getting left behind, but in a way needing a more focused effort on the NIL front. And they're still trying to catch up, get their footing, and, you know, establish something. But that was true. That was not just, you know, throwing something at the wall. You know, basketball does still have some catching up to do. So back to answer your original question, yes and no.
Okay. Well, and Jacob, for Fred Hoiberg in particular, you know, all of the, and again, going back to Tom Chattel's write-up, if anybody hasn't seen it, if you bring up the fact that if you had somebody maybe in a basketball athletic director position or, you know, associate AD in charge of basketball position, that you could sort of help Fred transition into the Big Ten and what to expect to help Fred sort of build an identity in the Big Ten, I guess I would be more curious to know, knowing what Fred experienced both at the collegiate level in the Big 12 and also in his time with Chicago, do you feel like Fred would be extremely open to that type of advice and to have that type of collaboration with somebody?
I think he would. He's definitely had a basketball life where he's seen it from all levels, whether it's as a collegiate athlete, as an NBA player, as an NBA front office, NBA coach, college coach. He's done just about everything. So he knows what it's like at different levels. But I think in the spot he's at right now, like if there's like, you know, he'll take any assistance or any, you know, that to try and get it to fit the vision he has and what he wants Nebraska basketball to be, and, you know, to, you know, any collaboration right now, I think would be welcomed by Fred.
Do you think, and the person that oversees men's basketball is the senior women's administrator, Marquita Armstead, who is one of the top officials in the athletic department. She came from USF. When Trev was at Omaha, he became the sports supervisor for men's basketball. So he had Mike Kemp, who oversaw hockey, which was a no-brainer because Kemper he's pro-hockey and he'll do anything for that program. Trev oversaw men's basketball. I understand much smaller level. But do you think, and no offense to Marquita, that a men's basketball program, even though she has experience because she did the same thing when she was at USF, says, why are we being assigned the senior women's administrator to oversee our sport?
They might be thinking that, yeah. I mean, that might, you know, I can't speak for the staff or anyone in the program, but I mean, they might be thinking that. They might be thinking, look at where we play, look at where we practice. Why do we not have someone, you know, specified to us in our program? That might be a thought, yeah.
All right. So now let's shift away, because the season's got to move on, and they got to 11, which is the most that Hoiberg has won in a season. Get me two more so you don't lose 20, okay? It's baby steps, so to speak, in year number four. What was the significance of winning a game like that yesterday in your book?
I think it was pretty significant. I mean, I think it definitely changes the discourse at least until Wednesday, I guess. But, I mean, the talk about, you know, the Fred's job status and what does this team look like next year? It had kind of started to slowly, not slowly, shift toward that, you know, last week going into yesterday. And they found a way to come out firing and maybe knock a team off the bubble. I mean, it's not just that game, but it's, you know, Penn State's inability to win away from the Bryce Jordan Center that inevitably is probably going to cost them a trip to the tournament, but this isn't a Penn State show. But if for Nebraska, I think it's pretty significant. I mean, it's, you know, it's similar talking points to what we've heard all year about they keep playing hard, they don't quit, they don't fold, that whole thing. And, you know, when even down two starters and, you know, having to play the coach's walk-on son in significant minutes, especially even in crunch time, they still found a way to win in the Big Ten and protect their home court. So I'd say significant.
You know, Jacob, but I think last time we talked and we mentioned Sam Hoiberg, and I like the moniker of the Johnny Trueblood Award winner for 2023. But, you know, in all seriousness, we're watching his minutes. They're not minutes where he's changing the game. He's not, you know, all of a sudden taking Nebraska out of a major hole, but he is not a liability, and he's giving you quality minutes. I mean, is this something that, again, now having hindsight, you could have maybe seen from Sam Hoiberg even earlier in the season of maybe not, obviously not 20 minutes, but maybe even you're looking at like a 5 to 10 minute appearance when that team was healthy?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, the biggest thing that Sam's got going for him is this team's got a really slim, maybe even non-existent margin for error. And, you know, little things, like little fundamental things, can be things that cost Nebraska games. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been a theme under the Hoiberg era, like, you know, just the little things coming back to bite him. And Sam, you know, the stereotype of the coach's kid, yeah. he does this and this, but what he does, those little things, he makes the right read, he makes the right, you know, the right cut, the right pass, he does all the little things well, and you know, they're the little things for a reason, but in turn they can make a bigger impact just by doing them well and doing them consistently. And so far that's what Sam's done when we've seen him get some playing time.
Jacob Bigelow joining us here on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Kasey gets a lot of the love for yesterday, and rightfully so, scoring 30 in 31 minutes. And we've seen that because it can be very streaky. But one of my main takeaways from yesterday, because I'm already trying to project down the road, and we don't know what next year's roster is going to look like, other than there's no Sam Griesel and there's no Derek Walker, is project for me, now that he's starting to play a little bit more and he's on the floor in quality minutes, what is your projection on where Jamarcus Lawrence could be headed?
I don't know what the ceiling is, but I definitely like what I've seen from him. You can see the confidence growing. I mean, a perfect example was that, you know, proverbial dagger three he hit basically from where Fred was standing in front of the bench to kind of put the, you know, close the door yesterday. You know, he's definitely come a long way from when I was on this show joking about him just being out there to get cardio. That's for sure. I think he could be a, not a dude, but he could be a good piece going forward. Especially if that shot continues to fall. He's got good athleticism, good looking shot. He defends hard. There's definitely potential there. And, you know, he was telling us in the post game yesterday, he doesn't feel like a freshman anymore. He doesn't have those freshman jitters. He feels like he's in it now. And that's good to hear when you're a true freshman kind of getting the trial by fire treatment in the Big Ten.
Okay, so while we're on the topic of Jamarcus Lawrence, Denham Dawson, you know, seeing him a little bit more of a mainstay as a starter here as of late as well. I know it's probably hard to sort of forecast his game and what he could ultimately be, but what have you kind of drawn from him, especially in the starting lineup here this past month?
I mean, if he refines some things, man, I mean, he's got some tools. I mean, I haven't seen many guys who can jump like him, I almost would love to see his testing stats, like just to see what kind of numbers he was putting up. He's still kind of got a little bit of a hitch in his jump shot, but I mean, he's shown us some flashes of those fancy moves around fancy finishes at the rim and, you know, pinning blocks against the backboard in that Iowa game and things like that. You know, you see the pieces, but he's definitely got to, got to refine some things as a scorer. But athleticism wise and mentality wise, you can see it. You know, you can see he's got some stuff to him for sure.
Hey, a quick one here. This will put you on a little spot here, so you can plead the fifth. It's February 6th. Lists are starting to show up of hot seat and maybe some guys that could retire. You know, whether it be Bob Huggins at the age of 69, maybe Jim Boeheim is pushed into retirement, which would be that'd be an ugly scene in Syracuse. I know Ohio State has hit the skids, but this will be the first time since Chris Holtmann took the job at Butler that he probably is not going to the NCAA tournament. So I don't get the discussion of, hey, push Holtmann out at Ohio State. I mean, you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
February 6th, will there be any new coaches in the Big Ten next year?
That's a good question. Right now, I would guess yes. I would guess yes, because I don't have any sources on this sort of thing, but I think the Notre Dame job is gonna be, you know, that could either be Holtmann trying to say, hey, I'm trying to beat the posse, you know, beat the posse and get out of town. And I know another name that's been tossed around for Notre Dame has been Micah Shrewsbury. Results like yesterday probably aren't Notre Dame people were following Penn State. They probably don't like what they saw yesterday or what they've seen in any road game probably. But I think that Notre Dame job could lure at least one coach out of the conference. Uh-huh. And that could create an interesting little domino effect if it does.
Yes, it could. And, I mean, we already know Georgetown is going to be open. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what's going to happen with Texas. Tough to say, hey, Rodney Terry, thanks for the memes of the way they've played since he took over full-time. Jacob, as always, we appreciate it. Enjoy the week, a couple of hoops games, and we'll talk again next Monday.
Yep, appreciate it, fellas. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
That's Jacob Bigelow. Go Chiefs. So, again, Ohio State's fallen off a cliff.
Yep.
All right, they were 10-4. They were a possession away from beating the number one team in the country. Now they're 11-12. Sensabaugh, who is a one-and-done, is the fifth leading scorer in the Big Ten, but he has the fifth most minutes on their roster. It's just a really weird how they handle him, and now he's coming off the bench. Again, I don't think Gene Smith would do anything with Chris Holtmann. That's a lot of the fans that are very upset with the way the season is going. But it does beg the question that if by chance Ohio State did anything and or Chris Holtmann leaves for another job, would that create an effect around here? Because remember when Chris Holtmann was hired, who also was courted? The guy that is working downtown.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I see the gears turning now.
Well, at first I thought you were talking about, is there any type of impact in Lincoln? I didn't.
Oh, not in. Not
well,
in
not, not
well,
that.
It could affect Lincoln. Allow the Pede family to put an offer together for Mac.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, that's, when was Mac's extension, was it last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah. Extensions mean nothing.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. You know, you remember the words about the job. You try to get an idea of where a guy feels as far as, you know, and Mac's got everything he needs here.
Does it snow in Columbus?
Sure.
It does quite a bit. Yeah, it's gray.
Not warm all the time there.
No.
Hey, maybe they can lure Boeheim away from Syracuse.
That's an interesting one. I totally forgot about that, too.
Just be careful, Ohio State, what you wish for.
And I don't think Gene Smith is
thinking that way. There's a lot of fans that want to run Holtmann out. Especially after yesterday's game against Michigan.
I think it's interesting what Jacob's talking about, too. If there was any type of mutual interest between Notre Dame and Chris Holtmann, if you're trying to – I can't imagine Chris Holtmann be feeling pressure about the longevity of his job right now. Now, you have another season like that next year?
Yeah, Ohio State's job's better than Notre Dame, but he could pull a Frank Haith.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of the posse.
The preemptive strike. Exactly, and that's why I'm glad Jacob mentioned that. Like, the preemptive strike, sure. If you feel like I don't know if we're going to be that much better next year or, you know, that there's starting to be some pressure. I've got an opportunity to go to South Bend, kind of start it all over. Okay. But that my question would be, is Notre Dame interested in him? I think Shrewsbury makes a little bit more sense.
On February 6th, people are wondering what's going to happen at Texas.
Yep.
What's going to happen at Georgetown? What's going to happen at Cal?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen at Nebraska? What's going to happen at St. John's? What's Bob Huggins going to do at West Virginia? does Boeheim look in the mirror and he's very, very sad and he says, uh-oh. And Syracuse says, now you've gone way too far because you're going after three teams in our league, mm-hmm. and they're going to come back with receipts on you of things right. that you have done.
Right.
Jim, we got to figure something out. And then, you know, like even on a lesser scale, Wichita State has a new AD. You know, yep. do they decide to do something there? Did I mention Georgia Tech? Talk about a guy's stock. Pastner's stock at Georgia Tech. Remember when they had the run to the NCAA yeah. tournament?
It was so high at one
now,
point.
Now mm-hmm. he might be out at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And some may look at that as a, ooh, you're in Atlanta. You're in the ACC.
Yeah.
There is history there. Mm-hmm. I can be the guy. I got good facilities. You know, they redid their arena a few years back. I know the dominoes in college basketball could fall, but tonight is one to watch on how it's framed on the broadcast because Texas is on Big Monday at KU, and Rodney Terry has done a hell of a job.
Mm-hmm. To and keep if they that go team, in there and win?
To keep that team together?
I mean, that's the hottest team in the Big 12 right now.
He mm-hmm. If I don't know, it'd be tough to say, hey, man, hey, thanks for keeping things together. We got to move on because you're not a name.
Yeah, you're doing if you're
somebody's going to hire that
if
name.
If you're doing that in the AAC, I get it. But if you're doing that in the Big 12, that says a lot. I mean, that says a lot more than what you could say for Shaka Smart and even for Baird early on. Like, that is not nothing.
Sometimes,
you have to consider the competition that they're maneuvering through right now. And again, it might end tonight, but here in the last couple of weeks, that is the hottest team in the Big 12.
Sometimes the best guy is the guy right in front of you, mm-hmm. and that might be the case there.
Might get a little break in the price, too.
All right, 31 past the hour. Coming up at the end of the show, we'll talk to Joel Lorenzi. As Creighton gets the job done in the stretch they had, the sixer. They beat Villanova. Now they go on another sixer that can kind of decide where they're going to end up 5 weeks from now on Selection Monday. This is Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.